My name is Reverend Karen, see if I can pronounce my own last name this morning, Dorsheimer Chaplain. It's a long last name. And it's my joy to welcome you to our service of worship this morning. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about the First Congregational Church, Natick, please visit the website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life here at FCC and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. As we are celebrating communion this morning, for those who are at home, encourage you when you have a moment, if you haven't already, to gather something that will be your bread and your wine or your juice. Are there other announcements this morning? Anything?
Good morning. FCC will be at Natick Days this Saturday out on the front porch with leaf crafts, leaf rubbings, scratch art. Sarah Lynn is going to be doing godly play, Noah's Ark story time, and people will be invited to come in. So please stop by.
10 to 3.
Other announcements?
Good morning. I just want to let everyone know that we will be participating in the community meal called Open Door again this year, and our first day is September 16th, which is coming up very quickly. We do have a small core group that's part of this, but we welcome everyone. If you would like to have even a small part in serving the community meal, preparing the community meal, cleaning up after, any of it, please let me know, and my information is on the website. Also, September is diaper month. That's right, diaper month. That means that we are collecting diapers for the diaper drive run through A Place to Turn. So every Sunday, feel free to bring your unused, packaged up diapers to church.
And then one more announcement, just as a reminder, next week church services go back to 10:30.
Okay, so an extra hour of sleep next Sunday. We now light the Christ candle to remind us that the light of Christ shines in and through each of us, and that we bear this light to the world.
And the call to worship is printed in your bulletin. Your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together. And now, are you following? You've got to be following right now, because we're going to flip the hymns, okay? The opening hymn is the sending hymn, and the sending hymn is the opening hymn, and that means that we're going to open right now with Praise to God, Your Praises Bring. May we be in the spirit of prayer. Creator God, in a time of changing seasons, of familiar landmarks that disappear as new beginnings emerge, center us as a community of faith. Quiet our anxious hearts and minds. Grant us your peace that passes all understanding. Calm us and create within us an openness to new dimensions and directions in our shared life as a community of faith. Settle your spirit upon us when winds of change blow around us and sustain us on our journeys of faith. We join together in the prayer of Jesus, printed in your bulletin. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise in body or spirit to offer a sign of God's peace to one another. The scripture reading is from Mark 10, 13 through 16. In our reading from Mark's gospel, we hear the familiar account of Jesus welcoming and blessing the children. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
So at this time, I'd like to invite the children. I know I saw more children a few minutes ago. They disappeared. I'd like to invite children of all ages and any young at heart to come and join me. I see sleepy eyes. I get that. I have sleepy eyes too. You're brave. I won't be able to get up off my knees if I do that. I'll just be loud. Thank you. Happy September 1st. Woohoo! So I want to talk a little bit about September and changes. So what happens in September? School starts. So, and is it true that school started here in Natick last week in August? Whew. What was that like having to go back to school in August? Whatever. So, what do you think about going back to school when a new year begins? Are you excited? What do you most look forward to at school? Friends. So for many people, many children, it's seeing their friends again, some friends you maybe haven't seen since the end of the last school year. Maybe it's finding out who your teacher will be. And do you have a new teacher this year? Yeah. Is that exciting or scary? Good. So it's mostly exciting stuff. So for all the rest of you, what do you like to learn about either in school or at church or maybe in a group that you belong to? How do you want to learn and grow this year? Okay, so Heather says she wants to learn how to relax. We're going to do a little relaxation piece during the next reading, actually. What else do people want to learn, either at school, at home, wherever? So reading new books. Yeah, that's my favorite, too, is to read new books. Yes. New songs with the? Oh, that's wonderful, with the senior chorus. That is wonderful. So starting on Tuesday and learning some new tunes. What are other people going to learn or look forward to this September? Yes. So starting new fitness classes. And I'm realizing as I'm sitting here this morning, I might need a fitness class myself. Or maybe yoga, so I can get up off of the steps. Or line dancing. Do we have any other line dancers here? Ah, that sounds really fun. Do you have that in Natick? That sounds like a lot of fun. Anything you want to learn as parents with a newborn? Ah, the learning for the new one. The new baby to be able, learning to sleep. So mom and dad can also sleep. That's important. Anything else you want to learn this year? Well, those are all good things to start with. So we're going to have a prayer together, and we're going to do an echo prayer. So I'll say a few words of the prayer, and then if you would repeat those back. And they'll say a few more words, and then that way we can all pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving children of all ages. Thank you for a new school year. For being with friends and meeting a new teacher. Thank you for the beginning of a chorus to learn new songs. Teach us, O God, how to relax. Help us to take care of our bodies with fitness classes and line dancing. And bless us all as we learn and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Happy September. Was it Heather who was up here to say wanting to learn about relaxing? Yes. That was unplanned. However, this morning, as you hear our next reading, you are invited to take a few deep, slow breaths. Relax your shoulders. Close your eyes if you wish to do so. And let these words from Wendell Berry's poem, The Peace of the Wild Things, give you rest and replenish your spirit on this Sabbath day. When despair for the world grows within me, and I wake in the night at the least sound of fear of what my life and my children's life may be, I go to lie down where the wood drake rests in beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought or grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. And whenever you are ready, take a few more deep breaths and open your eyes as you return to this sacred space. Would you pray with me? Oh God, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits this day, that we may stretch, learn, and grow in new ways that bring us closer to you, to one another, and to our neighbors. Amen. Dear friends of mine have been purging, recycling, and sifting through their belongings in preparation for retirement, not until next summer. So they are starting early because they have lived for 30 years in the same parsonage, and there's a lot to do. So inspired by their efforts, although it seems I have missed, I think I failed retirement, as I'm about, I thought I retired a few years ago and I'm starting a new position in 3 days. Nonetheless, I'm virtually joining them in purging, recycling, and sifting through all the belongings in my home that's already been downsized at least a few times, or I thought so. Cleaning out one of the closets, there was a surprise waiting for me. My late husband, Bob, believed in saving the original boxes for all electronics. Every one of them. And on the floor of one closet and going up a shelf or two, there were all of these boxes, computer monitors, DVD players, all of this stuff. I thought, no worries, they're empty. Pull them out, break down the cardboard, recycle. Surprise! They were full and so heavy, every one of them still had the electronics in it, and I was unable to even budge them. So it was a huge relief 2 weeks ago when those good people from 1-800-GOT-JUNK made boxes of those old electronics magically disappear from the closet, just like on the TV. Now, my pastor friend who is retiring and I, we've been comparing notes about the volumes of books we each have acquired over the years, as well as the piles of paper. When I preach at his congregation, the pulpit has a really deep shelf, and for all the years I preached there, about 15, it's always full of old sermons. If I ever forget one, there's one right there. A friend visiting my home this summer looked in my study and quipped, "Karen, Have you ever seen the reality TV series about hoarders? Ouch! Being surrounded by books and papers makes me happy, which is at times difficult to explain to others. In the process of purging and reorganizing my books, and okay, yes, purchasing one more bookshelf, but it gave me delight to discover two of my favorite children's books, Drawing God by Karen Kiefer, who is the director of the church in the 21st century at Boston College, and The 11th Commandment, Wisdom from Our Children by the Children of America. This morning, my friends, we as adults, we're going back to Sunday school. We're going to Sunday school to explore this question: what do children teach us about God? What wisdom and insight do children and youth impart to us? What do they teach us about resilience as we navigate an increasingly complex world in often unsettling times? How do we embrace faith formation as lifelong learning for all of us, planting roots deep in the soil of God's love, that as adults we may continue to thrive and grow as children of God? Our reading that Kristen shared with us this morning from Mark's Gospel is an excerpt of a much longer passage where there is significant conflict between the disciples and Jesus, and also the Pharisees and Jesus. It is during this conflict and controversy that people are bringing their children to Jesus to bless them. The disciples are seriously annoyed, and they speak sternly to the people and try to stop them from bringing their children to Jesus. Well, Jesus is then seriously annoyed, and he's indignant with the disciples and says to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." At the heart of the gospel is Jesus' teaching that children, as well as others often considered, especially at that time, the least valuable and most vulnerable members of society, are welcomed, affirmed, and blessed by Jesus. In the gospel, it is the children, rather than scholars, disciples, or theologians, who are the teachers for receiving God's blessing and entering and being included in the kingdom of God. Our gospel reading invites us to explore the inclusion of children in the life of the church in a new way. And I love that you have this space here, right in the sanctuary for the children. Instead of asking again what we should teach the children, it's important to step back and ask, what do they teach us? What do children teach us about mercy, kindness, and forgiveness? How do children invite us to be curious about God, to have a faith imagination that stretches and grows throughout our lifetime? In her book, Drawing God, Karen Kiefer introduces us to Emma, a young child who, after a visit to an art museum, is inspired to draw like Picasso. Emma wanted to draw something really big, something spectacular, and after sitting quietly, so really she was meditating, listening to her mind and heart, she's inspired to draw God. Taking a yellow crayon, Emma draws the brightest sun, and looking at her drawing, she knows that she has drawn God. She goes to school the next day, and she shares the drawing with her best friend, who exclaims, "Emma, that's not God. That is the sun." Emma knew, though, that she had drawn God, because God is light. She returns home, and she decides that she will draw a new picture of God. Emma takes a brown crayon and draws a loaf of bread, which reminds her of the bread her mother bakes, which her mother has always told her. This bread reminds her of God's grace. Now, Emma knows, after we know as congregations this summer, after 5 consecutive lectionary readings this summer about Christ as the bread of life, we know that Emma has indeed drawn God. The next day, she shares her new drawing with a friend at school who exclaims, "Emma, that is not God. That's a loaf of bread." Well, this pattern of drawing and bringing the drawing to school the next day, criticism from her peers, goes on for several days. By Friday, everyone knows about her drawings. And even though they have made fun of her, Emma has found a deep peace growing inside of herself. She was confident that she had drawn God. On Monday, she goes back to school, and an amazing thing had happened. She walks into her classroom, and all the children are seated on the floor with large pieces of paper, and every child was drawing God, and every picture was different. There's a wonderful website about drawing God, which invites guests to take a virtual tour of a gallery of children's drawings of God. And every year in November, this will be the 6th consecutive year, that there will be the observance of a World Drawing God Day, in which friends from all around the world are invited to create their own masterpiece and to share their inspiration with others. Imagine, if you will, what it would be like to have your own art gallery. And you have a lot of art in your sanctuary, which is wonderful. To have your gallery of children's art as part of World Drawing Day here as First Congregational Church Natick. What would it be like to have an art gallery that includes both the drawings of children and the drawings of adults, so that you have an intergenerational activity where all learn and grow together? What would reflect your faith imagination? Because it changes for us sometimes at the different stages of our lives. One of the most powerful messages in her book, Drawing God, is how, like Emma's friends, we each see, perceive, and understand God differently in our own unique perspective. So let me share with you a few thoughts about what kids are saying about drawing God that reflects their imagination and creativity and their diverse images of God. I drew a picture of what looks like the sun, but is really about the Eucharist. When I eat the Eucharist, God's light goes inside of me. There is a drawing of a heart with a peace sign inside. God is love and wants peace everywhere. Do we have any cat lovers in the congregation? Okay. Well, I drew a picture of my cat, Marley, because she is very loving, and she never gets mad at me. Well, I have two cats, but I only drew one cat because there's only one Marley, and it's really Marley who reminds me of God. I made a stargazer lily because I see God in that flower. It was my mother's favorite flower, and she passed away. God is love. I made a heart and then took some construction paper and built a case around the heart because hearts need to be protected because hearts can break. See this heart? This is God. God will always have your back. This one might be a little surprising, but this looks like a cookie with Skittles candy on the inside. It's the Jesus cookie. In her book, The 11th Commandment, children of many different faiths and backgrounds were asked the same question. If there was an 11th commandment, what would it be? Hundreds of children responded with drawings and words filled with wisdom. And here are just a few of their thoughts. A 12-year-old writes, love one another, no matter who. An 11-year-old writes, you shall treat men and women equally. A 9-year-old writes, thou shalt not address people by their color. And the next one, probably my favorite. And another 9-year-old writes, and I quote, thou shalt keep your body healthy, as in thou shalt not pig out. The words of children. Friends, as your congregation and my congregation embarks on a new year of adventures and faith formation, may all of us engage in lifelong learning and thirst for fresh ways to understand the Holy One. And this morning, when we come to the communion table, we will encounter God in a loaf of bread. We will encounter God in a cup of juice or wine and rejoice that all are welcome at this table and blessed by God. Amen. This morning, as we prepare ourselves for communion, are there joys or concerns to share with one another? Any joys? Yes.
My youngest daughter just completed her 2-year MBA, and I'm very excited and proud of her.
That's wonderful. So in case maybe not everyone could hear, their youngest daughter, Rachel, has completed her 2-year MBA, and everyone's very excited with her and for her. Wonderful. Other joys this morning or concerns? Are there people or concerns you would like to name aloud in prayer? Yes.
We have a friend, Richard, who recently fell again and broke 4 ribs and a vertebra. And he's in rehab right now. He's stable. He's doing okay. But we'd like prayers for him.
So prayers for Richard after a fall and breaking vertebrae. Yeah. What else this morning, or who else this morning? Are you always this quiet? No. Okay. Let's take a moment before we move into communion to both remembering the joys and concerns shared aloud and those that are talked quietly in our hearts. And that all that we carry, both the joys that lift our spirits and the worries that at times weigh us down, we entrust all of this, O God, and all of our lives to you, the source of our strength and of our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, our invitation to communion is from "And the Table Will Be Wide," a blessing written by Jan Richardson, artist and author. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive, and we will come as children who will trust that there will be enough. And we will come unhindered and freed, and our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward each other without fear, and we will give up our appetite for despair, and we will taste and know delight. And we will become bread for a hungering world. And we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing. And everywhere will be the feast. We recall anew the words and acts of Jesus as he gathered with his disciples in an upper room. After they had shared a meal together, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and blessed it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus then took the cup, and again after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." We join in a spirit of prayer as we bless these gifts. Holy God, loving Creator, close to us as breathing, and distant as the farthest star, we thank you for your constant love and rejoice in all that you have made. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that we might be infused with the gift of your nourishing guidance. Transform us with your abundant grace, even as we eat this bread and drink this wine. Bless those who planted, nurtured, and harvest the grains for the bread, and those who awakened at dawn to shape and bake it. Bless those who tended the vines and cared for the vineyard, that we might taste the richness of your love for us. By your Spirit, make us one with the holy, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world, until all know wholeness, justice, and peace. Amen. The bread which we break is for us the bread of life. be poor is for us the cup of grace. Come, for all things are now ready. Come to be nourished and fed at this feast of God's gracious and amazing love. This morning we will be receiving communion by invitation. So two of us will have a chalice on each side of the table, one with wine, the other with grape juice. All of the bread being served is gluten-free bread. So all are welcome at this table. Come as you are ready to receive these gifts. We offer our gratitude to God. Gracious God, we celebrate and give you thanks for nourishing us at your table of grace, where all are welcomed without question. By your Spirit, we will become bread for a hungering world and drink for those who thirst. and the blessed will become the blessing, and everywhere will be the feast. We pray in Christ's name. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen. Beloved, with the generosity and gratitude of children, may we bring our morning offering. And a reminder that, as is your practice on a communion Sunday, there is a communion offering envelope, and those gifts help to bless those with urgent needs in the community. May we receive the offering. Dedicate these gifts to God. Oh God, we pray that these gifts would be received to bless this community of faith, to strengthen its mission and ministry, and to bring the light of Christ into the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you remember very early in the service that Kirsten told us about the flip and the flop with the hymns. So now the opening hymn is the sending hymn. And it should be on your insert as God of All Generations. And if anyone has one to share, that would be awesome.
Christ, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be ever gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness, tenderness, and compassion to bring you the deepest of the deepest peace. Alleluia. Amen.